allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Oh, Canada. I guess roll call is next.
Chair Branch is absent. Member Clinton? Absent. Member Fullerton?
Here.
Member Smith?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Here.
Thank you.
So at this time, the public has an opportunity to speak, and I do see a speaker slip for Cecilia Brown. Oh, it's for the agenda item. Okay. So seeing no other speaker slips, we'll move forward to the administrative agenda. First item on the, is there any planning issues?
No, we'll have that at the end.
Okay, great. So we'll move into the sign review, item B1.
Actually, there's item A1 is review of the agenda.
Oh, sorry.
And there are no changes. Just want to mention, you're getting thrown off because usually we have the minutes.
Right, right.
We're a little backed up with the minutes, so at some point you'll get several versions, but they will come to you as they are ready.
Great, thank you. So moving on to the sign review, item B1 is 5582 Calle Real, the Santa Barbara Neighborhood Clinic's signage, case number 19029 DRB. Hi, Amy.
Well,
welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. This is for a new sign for Santa Barbara Neighborhood Clinic at 5582 Calle Real. They are proposing four new signs. One is to replace the existing face on the pole sign. That would be a lit sign that internally illuminated that has a new feature. The lighting at night would invert the colors from white background to black at night, and the text would be black during the day, white at night. There's a similar wall sign and two new blade signs on the eastern and western elevations. Regarding everything meets the code, but there's one item to point out that with regard to the blade signs, the sign code says that they must consist, quote, of only a symbol with or without words relating to the activity on the premises. We aren't exactly sure what was intended. It seems to us that we can't articulate whether it, we can't articulate that it doesn't meet it. It seems to meet it. But we just point that out so that you can make that final decision there. And with that, I'll turn it over to the applicant's agent, Amy Taylor.
Great.
Hi, Amy Taylor, architect. Amy Taylor, architect, and Nancy Tilley, CFO, COO for Santa Barbara Neighborhood Clinics. And do you have the photos? Show them the context. Oh, they have it all in the package.
Right.
So
can we also put it on so
yeah,
that the,
on
there
the
we
screen,
go.
It's on the screen.
So I think a lot of you are familiar with the bag that's been on the pole sign for quite too long now. So that's the primary focus of this application. And then in this front facade, we'd like to add a wall sign that's similar but smaller in size. And then the blades will be on the two ends just to identify entrances for the pedestrians on site. So at the front of the building, again, the wall sign, the proposed new face for the pole sign. We are proposing a couple of spotlights onto the wall sign that will be, they'll project out from the building so that they point towards the sign itself without any light intrusion elsewhere. The proposed signage is based on the logo of the business. Perhaps my color isn't exactly their color, but this gives you a representation. White background, black lettering, and then the starburst and the underline are in their logo colors. And as Chris was saying, at nighttime, we get the reverse read of that so that the lettering is illuminated and the background becomes dark or opaque in a way. And we are also planning to illuminate the color accent with the lettering. Mm-hmm. The wall sign at the front of the building will simply be raised matte finish plastic lettering and graphics over a basic painted surface. I think the sign company is planning to use a painted aluminum for that. And similarly, at the blade signs, it's a very lightweight aluminum covered product with just painted lettering. The blades are fairly small in scale with just a simple side bracket onto the fascia of the building. Primarily, we're trying to draw attention just to the names of two entrances so that when people are parking in the back lot, they can at least get some sense of where they're going. Main lobby and Kellogg is supposed to be just sort of a downplayed name for that entranceway. That's it, right?
Okay, before I move into questions, I do see a public speaker slip. I'd like to invite Cecilia Brown up.
Good afternoon, DRB members. Welcome aboard to the new one. My name is Cecilia Brown, and I'm a neighbor. And Ms. Taylor probably remembers me. I was walking by with three dogs at that time. I just live up the street. So I walk by this building every day, and finally, we're going to get a new sign from this plastic cover thing to something new that's pretty nice over here. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate Ms. Chang's forbearance for the last couple years and moving this forward because it's taken a while. One thing that always strikes me is that I think that I'd like to see on all your staff reports is the general plan sign policies so that you have an understanding that one of the policies is about minimizing signage and about lighting and those kinds of things, because sometimes I think we forget about it. And I just mention this because I've just been through the new zoning ordinance process on signs, and this has been of long interest to me, and I think our community benefits by having fewer signs than more signs. Regarding the blade signs, I'm not sure why we need them to be projecting, perhaps just flat on the wall to indicate which entrance is which. I understand there are two entrances. And I do have some concerns about the lighting that's being projected. I'm not sure if it's fully shielded or what it is, but that needs to be considered. And also there is a sign, a plastic sign on the back wall. That sign's been there since the inception of when the other plastic covered sign covered the cabinet sign, and that needs to be removed. I saw no indication on the staff report that that sign was existing or was there, but it needs to be removed as part of this permit, I think. So good neighbor here. We like it. It's a nice use for the site. I think it's a nice, handsome sign replacing that old plastic sign over the cabinet sign, Ms. Taylor. Sorry. So anyway, we'll move forward with that. And thank you for listening to me constantly on all these signs and lighting issues. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. So I'll move into questions for the board and start here with Dennis.
Sure. Are there any examples locally of this sign type that changes color at night that you could list?
I believe I saw the Gold's Gym on State Street at La Cumbra, and I have not confirmed that that does go wide at night. I thought I saw that, but I'm not 100% sure. It doesn't? I know that they exist in Los Angeles.
Jennifer?
Question for staff. Getting a little feedback. I don't have the new zoning ordinance here. Remember when we were going over the signage? Wasn't there a specific regulation about not having color changing signs? Wasn't that one of the things in the ordinance?
Yeah.
I believe it was, and that yes. We didn't want signs changing colors.
I'm not familiar with the new zoning ordinance, at least not that detail, so it very well could be. And I believe it is based on indication from the audience, but
are we doing comments too, or just questions?
We can do
okay.
both.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. I mean, I guess that would be my comment. Was I don't think we've seen that anywhere, and I think we're planning on banning it. So I don't know that we would want to approve that. Mm-hmm. And also, what are the hours of the clinic? Like, are there going to be patients coming in at night?
The clinic is open from 8:30 in the morning until 7 o'clock in the evening. So when we're not in daylight savings, there's a need to have something to help direct them.
But would all these illuminated at night signs be not illuminated after the hours? I guess what my other concern is why we need so many illuminated signs at night for a business that nobody's going to go to. Are there plans to have it on a timer or something like that?
We didn't plan to have it on a timer. We do, just so you know, we do have issues with graffiti, and people sleeping in the parking lot and having a little bit of lighting may help that. We pay to have security drive through, but I think it's helpful to have that.
I think lighting, security lighting is maybe different than using signage to deep lighting. If the signage is that bright, then that would be pretty garish compared to some of the other neighborhood signs.
I don't think we're planning to have it bright, and perhaps we could identify the brightness.
Yeah, I think, is that in here anywhere?
No. And to regards to the color changing quality, I think it's a static change, whether it's during daylight hours or dark hours. It's not going to be a fluctuating color change, which sounds like the intent of that discussion.
Maybe we could find out what the regulations are.
Yeah, I was getting a lot of feedback here. I was going to suggest the same idea there, that I would suspect it's more about, you know, flashing red, green, yellow. This is, you know, from one static color to another one that would flip at night.
I thought I'd even address that. Yeah, just look at it. That's all my questions.
Alfred?
Well, I'd like to follow up on that. So when it changes, do we know that it won't flutter? Like, what causes it to change from one color to the next?
Do you have the handout I had emailed to you? I did not bring it. So it's actually, it's the type of plastic being used that when the backlighting is on, the product becomes translucent. You know, it's kind of like our new window glass.
Yeah, but what triggers
glass.
It?
Pardon me?
What triggers it to change?
Light behind. The light inside of the sign will come through the plastic. But during the daylight, the inside is unlit.
Yeah, but my question is there going to be a period of time in the morning and at the night where it's fluttering back and forth because it really doesn't know which way to go?
No.
So it's a finite one-time change.
If the light is on, the letters will become white. If the light is...
Okay, I'm confused. Is the light not on all the time?
The interior light is not on all the time.
Okay, what causes the light to be turned on?
A timer.
Okay, so this switch from one color to the other will be caused by a switch,
yes,
rather than relying on ambient light?
Yes.
Okay. I did want to ask about the plastic sign around back. Will it be removed?
Yes.
Okay, when?
We can do it right away.
No, I'm not asking. I'm just curious when you were planning to do it.
We've just lost track of some of our details, but we can take it down immediately.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I have a series of comments and questions. Shall I just go through them?
Yep. Chair, before continuing, can we have declarations?
Oh, sorry.
A site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Thank you. Please resume.
I did want to say thank you to city staff for putting in that bit of the code. I think it really does help, to focus and saves me time from having to look it up. So the more you can do that, as I heard the speaker say, the better. That would be really helpful. Personally, I found these are just comments at this point. I found the font size and style and selected for dimensions and notes were just really hard to read, which is why I brought this along. I'm sure it's because of mine and not your work, but this is what got sent to me in the package, and I just found it very hard to read, specifically the font choice. I thought it would be helpful to know where the pole sign would be on the south elevation relative to the wall sign. I didn't actually see that on that drawing. The dimensions of the existing pole sign would have been helpful. Maybe it was in the package, I didn't see it, for comparison purposes, and I'll have questions about that in a minute. The site photo page wasn't numbered or labeled as existing. I got to tell you, my first impression when I looked at it was, wow, this is what they're planning to do as opposed to what it currently is, until I looked at it on Google and found out, yes, that's the way it is. So had that been labeled existing, that would have saved me a little bit of searching. An artist impression or modified photo to show the proposed finished product would have been helpful. We've seen that in other applications. Personally, from my point of view, I just found it, the package as provided made it difficult to render an opinion. So here's some of my questions. Will the existing pole on the pole sign be changed?
No.
Because the drawing kind of made it look like it was a circular pole, but I gather it's not. You're going to use the...
It's a rectangle.
Okay. And can you confirm that there'll be no change in the height of the overall pole sign?
That is correct.
Now, in A41 and in Brochure 1, the examples that I saw, there was no borders on the sign. But on A51, it does show a 2-inch border on the sign. What is that?
There is a note on the Detail 1 on A5.1 indicating that right now, because of the... because of the banner over the sign, we have not been able to verify the actual construction of the box. The sign company verbally explained to me that these signs are always made with a metal return on the face of the sign. And until we can get up there with equipment to get to the height and to remove the old bag, we're not going to be able to verify. I'm going to ask the company who installs whether they can actually fabricate the new face to go cover that return, and if they can't, if it has to go inside of the return, we plan on painting it to match identically the color of the background of the sign.
Okay, so you don't intend to remove everything from the top of the pole, you're just planning to replace
just the face of the sign itself, and also we'll have to rewire the interior of the sign and replace with LED lighting instead of, I'm assuming, what had been fluorescent.
Will there be any need for wires outside of the pole?
No.
Do you happen to know what, you know, how wide? I didn't see any part of the drawing that showed how wide the side was, like they are from a south elevation point of view, what color it might be.
You're right. I did not show the sign on the south elevation. I think on the site plan, I'm going to just double check. So on the site plan, it is showing that the pole sits just to the side of this brick wall. So the pole is approximately in this area. And in terms of the size of the pole, I think it is indicated here.
Yeah, I'm referring to the sign itself when you look at it.
I believe it's about a foot thick.
And what color will it be?
It'll be white.
With respect to the blade signs, do you intend to illuminate them?
No.
Okay, so will they be visible when there are no lights?
Not necessarily. There is a little bit of ambient light, which we'll be relying on.
I guess this is more of an opinion than a request. I just wondered, is it necessary on the blade signs to have the Santa Barbara words on it? Because they seem quite small, and I'm wondering if people will even be able to see them, and wonder if it takes away from what you stated is the main purpose of the blade sign, is to draw attention to the entrances. Because if those words were removed, you could probably make those other letters bigger.
We have a logo design, and we were hoping to have the signs be representative of the logo.
It's actually their business name.
Yes.
It's the overall arching business name that this clinic is under. They have locations throughout our area. And really the way this sign is functioning, we had it larger, but unfortunately there's an 8-foot minimum height clearance for projecting signs. So I had to reduce it. I did actually make a mock-up of the larger sign and looked at it from my house across the street, and it was big. And I was like, you actually don't need that much signage, because it's just to get a glimpse when you're walking from the back parking lot. So the intent here is to label the name of the entry, to let people identify with the sunburst and the acronym, and just include the name, even though it definitely is not a legible part of the sign. It was just to keep the business name cohesive. In the ADA standards for signage, they do say that 2 inches minimum is required for a sign over a certain height. But none of this applies to the business name itself.
Okay, so with the two main signs out front and the people have already parked, you still think it's necessary for the name to be on the sign? When what you're really trying to do is draw attention to main lobby, and you could make those letters bigger if the words above it were gone.
It was more of a visual acknowledgement of the logo that the company has designed. I think that you can read SBNC, and while you cannot read Santa Barbara Neighborhood Clinics, you will see that there's a cluster of words over the highlighted underline. And my feeling is that through recognition of coming to these clinics, that it becomes a branded kind of image. The legibility of the words themselves on these particular signs wasn't the priority, but that they should be included.
Thank you.
Dennis, do you have further comments?
Back to me. Oh, I would pick up on Member Smith's comments about the legibility of these signs if you're trying to identify the entry points for confused people who've just parked, that elimination of the logo and the branding is just overboard, and you really just want to get people to the doors, which are not intuitive to find. I'll grant you that. You've been dealt a difficult plan by dealing with this repurposed building. Perhaps another type of sign, it would be on the north or the northeast corner saying Kellogg entry that way, main lobby that way. Seems to me that these blade signs are a bit disruptive visually and that they aren't really accomplishing what you want to do. I'm not going to be terribly supportive about the business signs. The other signs are fine. I question the lighting of this wall sign on the north. If it is, as you say, you need extra light in the parking lot, well, this light from this sign will have nothing to do with that issue, and the pole sign is well illuminated facing east and west. It seems to me that that's sufficient ID. I'm not going to really torture you about this one, but I don't see the pressing need for lighting on that north sign. Those are my comments.
All right, so I actually had a different take. I wanted to just talk about the aesthetics. You're free to do what you want logo wise. I mean, it's your company logo. Doesn't matter to me what you do legibility wise. The only things aesthetically that I noticed was a little bit of an issue with crowding. If you take the pole sign, Goleta Medical, the lettering seems to get pretty close to the edge of the frame of this box. And as opposed to up above, it seems like you have, there's not quite a balance there, and it looks like that might, crowd the space below. And same thing with the Kellogg entrance. As opposed to the main lobby blade sign, it seems to have a good amount of negative space around this lettering and logos. So you might just consider some adjustment there, however you'd want to make that happen. I'm hearing from staff that there is essentially compliance with the signage ordinance, so all the other points surrounding that are a bit moot. This is your prerogative. It's your building. It's your money you're spending here. So I wouldn't have an opinion on how you want to do that. It's more of if it's already in compliance. I will comment on the color changing backlit. I think it's great. Honestly, what we basically have here is a relatively new technology that we're able to take advantage of. Incredibly energy efficient, and still getting the effect that we needed, whereas in the past it was just 24/7 light on, light off, and an incandescent light or halogen light or whatever it was that used to just suck energy. Whereas now we have, I think it's very interesting, and I could support that.
Chair Schellenberger, can you turn this up? So Ms. Brown was kind enough to bring the new zoning ordinance. I wanted to just touch on the issue that was
brought up about. Oh, thank you.
There it is.
The electronic copy and the change. There is in a section on electronic copy, changeable copy, and it states that the display duration, the changes to copy are limited to a maximum of twice a day.
Okay.
So noting that this is not in effect yet, but as something that is we're looking into. So I think what they're proposing is consistent with what this
Great.
Ordinance is saying.
Thank you for that clarification. As far as the lighting of the blade sign, I appreciate Ms. Brown's question about is it fully shielded? These look to be spot or directional lighting, so I think that answers the question of whether it's shielded or not. And I don't think this building has any pathway lighting, so I actually can see some tangential benefit here to nighttime pathway lighting requirements. That makes me help sort of mitigate the fact that there is an additional light added. It might help the building itself or help.
I understood there were no lights on the blades.
No, the wall sign. Yeah, sorry if I did, I misspoke. And then, yeah, just I guess some of the questions here that the package needs, and I would look for this in a motion, was that the drawings be edited or the package be edited to call for removal of the existing sign, and maybe even note in the pole sign that the color change is limited to once a day or something like that, so that it just demonstrates compliance. Well, it's only once. The maximum is two, but this one is once, right? Yeah.
But wouldn't that mean you do it at night and then morning?
Yeah, in the morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. all right. So if somebody would like to make a motion to some effect. I don't think the chair makes motions, right?
You can.
Jennifer?
It may be in the zoning ordinance. I can't support the color changing sign. I don't think it's consistent with the area. We don't want to be like LA. I'm just saying the only place you could find them is LA. To me, I just can't support that. The other ones are fine, although I think it's a little bit silly to have signs that you admit are not legible. I would take out the name and just make it nice and clean and easy to read. So,
Chair, I have a suggestion. It sounds like there's some difference in opinions on the blade signs and perhaps the color change. Maybe take motion on the separate signs.
Okay.
May I make a comment?
Sure.
So in regards to the change of color, the intent from our point of view was actually to be as compliant as possible with the trends in our local community, meaning that it's more appropriate to have lettering illuminated at nighttime rather than backgrounds. And while the company's logo is with black lettering, I felt that this product serves both the community and the company by making a single change of color when it's dark in the evening.
May I ask a question about that?
Yes, please.
Is it fair to say that this type of sign emits less light at night than a traditional one?
It emits less than a background illuminated sign because the whole surface is not illuminated.
Let me rephrase. It emits less light at night than the alternative.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, so I appreciate your suggestion, Mary. So why don't we do this? I'll make a motion that we approve the pole-mounted sign as submitted.
I'll second that motion.
Under discussion?
May we limit it to two changes per day?
Yes, absolutely, yes. With the understanding that there will be two color changes maximum per day. All those in favor? Aye.
Nope.
Aye.
So the motion carries on the pole sign. I'm going to move to the wall sign and also make a motion to approve the wall sign as submitted.
Second.
Under discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? None. Motion carries. Now on to the blade signs. I'll move to approve the blade signs as submitted. Having received no second, the motion fails. So I think at this time, though, as far as the blade signs, if you'd like to resubmit those with the comments you've heard today, we can look at it separately. As far as the package today, the wall sign and the pole sign are approved, all contingent on the existing sign in the back being removed. We need anything else?
Unless someone else wants to entertain a motion on the blade signs.
Oh, a separate motion? Seeing none.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well done.
I got a little trickier than I thought.
You're rotating.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the design review for item C1, case number 18089DRB. This is 6710 and 6720 Calle Corral, the Village at Los Caneros, podium units, project revisions. I would like to also clarify for the audience that we are not here to review this project in total. This is a very specific review of changes. It's a revised design review is the application to change the unit mix for the 88 residential unit project from 21 bedroom units and 68 two bedroom units to 21 bedroom units, 48 two bedroom units, and 23 bedroom units. I think there's some math problem here, but I'll let staff work that out, but I'll continue. The change from two-bedroom units to three-bedroom units will be achieved by converting the dens into bedrooms and adding closets and doors to the dens. The square footage of the units, however, will remain unchanged. I believe this change necessitated additional parking, in which the applicant has provided six new parking spaces. Again, that's really not a design review issue, but we're going to be focusing on the change to the units. And actually the parking would, it does have some aesthetic impact, but with that, I'll turn it over to Kathy.
Thank you, good afternoon, Chair, members of the board. Thank you for catching that math there. Yes, it should always add up to 88 units. We're not okay. Gonna change the number of units on this. And also for your introduction too, because it is has been approved. There's no new square footage. There's staff felt that there were enough requests that collectively that it warranted bringing it to the full board. Mm-hmm. And so we'll run through that, but they are kind of individually rather small and detailed changes, but here we are. Okay. So as you said, this is part of a larger project as part of the Village at Los Caneros project, which is a total of 465 units on 43 acres. Today's request was, as you said, a revised design review for the 88 units. And the units are divided into two buildings of 44 units each. Comstock Homes was the original developer for this project, and when they received design review approval, the board had asked the Comstock Homes to consider adding some bicycle storage, bicycle parking, and also some storage units in the garages of each podium units. In order to do that, it reduced their parking, and so at that time, Comstock Homes reduced the number or eliminated the three-bedroom units altogether, and that reduced their parking requirement. In January of 2016, Comstock Homes decided to sell the project to RTA, who are the applicants today. And RTA wanted to put those units back, wanted to have the three-bedroom unit as an option. And in fact, not just put them back, but increase the number of three-bedroom units. So because of that, that increased the parking and parking requirement. So they have proposed today to add one additional space in each parking garage and then also four uncovered parking spaces. So their new total mix will be 21 bedroom units, 42 bedroom units, and 23 bedroom units. Is that correct, Brayden?
So 20.
It
should be 20, 48, and 20.
20, 48, 20.
Sorry, it does say that here.
Does it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Well, it's funny because I wrote 68 in my notes here. So. So let's see. So with regard to the four new parking spaces along Cortona, I received some comments from the Public Works Department that they prefer to not have the cars in the parking lot be backing out onto Cortona Drive. So Public Works requested maybe that the applicant explore changing the parking lot by 90 degrees. So that portion of this project is still under some discussion. So the other items, though, I think we could go through the other items, which include eliminating the water feature that's in the front area between the two podium buildings, and they want to replace that with a walkway. There are also other changes with landscaping, window locations, replacement of the wheelchair lift, and also elimination of the gabion planter. So the applicant will go through in more detail these changes, but if the board wishes to approve some of these changes, but potentially hold off on the parking area change because that's still under some review. Mm. I think we could achieve that with a motion of approving what's okay, and then just requesting either that once that final design is worked out, that it either go for some type of conformance review with the DRB chair, and then if the chair decides it warrants coming back to the full board, we can do that as well.
Great. I'm going to back up and do declarations.
All right.
No additional site visit nor ex parte conversations.
Same.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Next thing would be public comment, but I'm seeing no speaker slip, so there is none. And I'll go to questions from the board, and we'll start with Dennis.
No questions.
Jennifer?
I just have a question. For staff, the additional bedrooms and the parking, is that something that Planning Commission has to hear as well, or is that our decision?
It is. It's really, it could be even an administrative decision because there's no new square footage and no new units. So the way they're achieving the additional bedroom is by converting a den. So that really is kind of more on administrative change. Excuse me. But in this case, like I said, given the other changes and some of the changes that will be visible from the streets, we decided that it should come before you.
Okay.
I guess my only other question is, can you show us the kind of before and afters of like the area that you want to change?
So I did bring the full set, full size of what was originally approved. So if necessary, we can get those plans for the more before of what it looked like.
Or even just
before.
Point out specifically.
But yeah, it might be simpler to start with that.
Do we want to answer that question now, or should we go? Yeah, well, let's do that, the before and after.
Now there we go. All right.
Can you introduce yourself? And
yes,
sorry. Sheldon too. And
yeah.
Thank you.
My name is Braden. I'm the project manager. I work for Redwood Construction. We're an exclusive affiliate for the owner, so we're representing the owner.
Sheldon Powell. I'm vice president of New Construction and Development for FPA.
You know, I'm sorry, guys. I should have just, I didn't know if you had a presentation. If you do, please feel free to go ahead with that before we did our questions, but I thought Kathy was...
No, we were planning on it being really informal.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, we deal with Kathy all the time. So.
Okay. She's been great for us. She's been a lot of help. Yeah.
Okay, thank
you. Okay,
so
to put it at its most simple, we're talking about... there we go. This section right here is where we are proposing to add the four parking stalls. So to put this in perspective of the entire site plan, this is on the northwest corner of the property. So Cortona Drive is right here down this side, and then Calle Corral is this one here.
So it's right up in here?
That's correct.
I guess they can't see that on screen.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. So it's right up in here.
That's correct.
Okay.
So what the as currently designed, prior to approval, this is just a landscaped area. So it's got some planting material. The opposite corner from where, yep, that one right there. Yep. So it's being changed from landscape material with some shrubs, some small trees, and then adding these four parking stalls right here. And then on the units basis, from converting them to dens, from dens to three-bedroom apartments. We've got 10 that we're converting in each building, and they stack up. So on the first floor, building 100, for example, these two units right here, previously they were a den up in the front corner of the unit, and originally they were, like Kathy mentioned, they were originally designed as third bedrooms. When they made the changes, they just converted them to dens. So you'll see that in the corner of the unit right here, we've added the closets there in the corner of the room, and then we added doors as well to make them an official bedroom. And then on the handouts that you guys received, the units that we are proposing to convert are all highlighted.
We saw that, and that was helpful, but what exterior elevations were changed? First of all, this is all within a courtyard, it looks like, right?
Correct.
So even the exterior changes are not visible from the public view?
As is pertaining to the three-bedroom conversions, no.
Does it even have any effect on the exterior elevations?
No.
No.
Okay, thank you. You were done with your questions, Jennifer? Okay, Alfred.
So my first question is for staff. The first paragraph, and you know, I'm new, so I'm sure there's an obvious explanation for this, but you say the construction of 465 residences consisting of, and it lists a bunch of numbers, and they add up to 366.
I'm not sure. Let's see, 56, 166. I think I might have left out the 88 is what I'm thinking, but let me see. What's the difference, 465 and the, you said it's 366?
Yes. That's a good question. I didn't calculate the delta. It's 65 and 33, so it's 98.
Well, I can tell you what it should be. Let me see. The 56. The one I'm not sure about is the 166 condominium. So there are for sure 74 market rate apartments. There are for sure 70 affordable and 56 detached. So then the difference would be the number of condos, which would include the 88 podium. I apologize for the math error there too, but let me double check that. 74 and 70. 200.
There's like 99 missing.
Yeah, that's odd.
If you don't mind, though, it really wouldn't change what they're doing here, so we can have staff can clarify that, but I'd like to just move forward with the meeting.
Okay. I do have a related question, and next paragraph you talk. The next paragraph adds up to 86 of the 88, so I'm assuming the 66 two-bedroom units, and paragraph two, you meant 68.
I'm sorry, I was still working on the first question, so I didn't hear that. Sorry.
If you look at what Comstock was approved in December 9, 2016, it says 66 two-bedroom units, and then later on, it's now 68.
Right.
So presumably that's a typo. That
right.
Okay.
Yeah, as I said, it should always add up to 88. So it should be 68.
Yeah, just a couple more comments, but I'm done with the number crunching. I was disappointed to see the loss of a neat feature, that gabion planter. I appreciated the orange to point out stuff, but even with this, I couldn't read what the changes were. So what you're telling me here now is what I'm going to be basing my decisions on, because I couldn't tell from the package. A more detailed listing that of the things that the board would be interested in, like no exterior and, what we would be interested in would have been helpful.
Did the board members receive a landscape revisions narrative?
Yeah. I think it was available to us online. I didn't get it in my package.
Okay. Do you?
Oh, it should have been in the package.
Do we have a physical copy here? I actually didn't bring one with me.
Yeah, of the changes?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Online.
All right. I can pass this around as well so board members can all see it. It is line item. Where did?
Okay. That would have been wonderful. I can see from the back that everything there is what I was looking for.
Yes, it's the very bottom one, LC5C5.
So I have a question related to while we're talking about that. What were the mitigation measures taken for the reduced landscaping? Was there landscaping added to somewhere else on the site? I mean, how did you offset the loss of approved landscaping?
Are you referring to open space?
Well, I'm just referring to you had a nice green landscaped area, and now it's, I guess, asphalt. So did you put landscaping somewhere else that used to be hardscape or unimproved or something? I don't know. Typically, these types of things require some kind of mitigation, unless you're already well over your required landscaping area. And if that's the case, it's a moot point. But I would have looked to see, okay, we're not going to plant here, but we'll plant there.
Right. One thing we did do with the removal of the water feature is that is new landscaped area that used to be hardscaped.
Okay. That's the answer. Great.
Yeah. May I follow up? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I thought I should go back maybe to your mathematical question here, since I have an explanation now. The breakdown is, so Comstock Homes is now building 233 units. Of those, 56 are single-family homes, 177 are condos. Then you've got the 88 units, which RTA is building the podium units. That's what we're looking at today. Then we have 70 affordable units, those that are built by people self-help housing, and then 74 of the market-rate units, which RTA also built. So and that total is 465. I can't tell you what I did on that first paragraph there.
Thank you. Just to follow on your question about landscaping, the trees that you intended to plant there, I don't suppose you found another place on the property to plant those trees?
I would have to double check the original plan. There were just a couple of small trees there, and we actually added... Let's see, where are we? If you'll notice on this page here, It's LC6. Well, actually, better if we go to the...
Can you flip that around for the camera?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll flip it around. The tree plan. Yeah, LT15. This section right here, and I'll actually highlight it here for you. That's where the water feature used to be, and we now have added two large trees there.
Mm-hmm. And can you point out where the what you had in mind for where the parking lot is now?
The area that I just showed you is just over here in between the two buildings on the side closer to building 100, which would be right here, basically. The added parking is in the back corner. So the added trees are over here, and then you come back to this corner.
So I guess to answer your question is, it was relocated from where the parking is going to be. We actually moved it to where we took away the fountain or that water feature. So we're just...
Which was hardscaped, right?
Which was, yes.
Okay.
Awesome. So so there were two trees that you had to remove for the parking lot, and those two trees are now where the hardscape is.
I would have to double check that there were two exactly where the parking lot is, but we definitely added the two large ones where the water feature is.
You know, as long, you know, mitigation, as long as the trees that are gone have been taken
exactly.
care of. Thank
Correct.
You.
Yes.
Any other comments from the board?
A couple of questions. Where did the bike parking get moved to from and to? LC3.
I've actually moved to the other packet of drawings.
A2.
The architectural drawings. Yeah, so I'm on A2.11. So, actually, a better sheet would be A3.11.
So they're just relocated within the parking structure.
Within the parking structure. That's, we've got these ones over here in this corner.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. And then what was behind the change to remove Santa Barbara boulders, converting it to landscaping? I really like boulders, but...
That was a value engineer decision.
Anything else?
Yes, we use it a lot.
Okay. I guess I'll... So we're needing to separate the approvals here because the landscape design is not complete, but we can talk about the units, the actual building itself. Is that the suggestion?
I think this is coming for you as one package for all the changes. As Kathy mentioned, that the parking spaces may trigger further design review, and we'll wait to see what the changes are to whether it would be warrant to bring back to DRB.
Oh, if they do trigger, then they'll come back.
Right.
Okay, but we can look at this package and...
Right, as a whole.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the proposed changes.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Do we have any announcements by members of the board? Mary, any announcements?
Just want to touch base on the sign subcommittee, which we haven't had one for a while. And I was hoping to wait until we get a full board, but I don't know if the board members and chair, if you're interested in getting that back instated, we can discuss that. We need three members.
Was this the intent of this to be in lieu of it, of the signage review happening at full board?
Right. And it was for when a meet, there's a lot on the agenda and signage can be fleshed out ahead of time.
Right.
The action is still taken by on at full board. But so.
Right. Where the subcommittee recommends and the right. full board acknowledges or doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. I think we should definitely enact that or implement that.
We need three
else?
Volunteers.
Oh,
I think
I'll volunteer.
Yeah. Yeah, you were interested, Jennifer.
I am. It's just tough to
get
leave
here.
Work.
Yeah,
oh.
even earlier. I'm already sneaking out early
right.
to get here.
Why don't we put out an email to the others and see
yeah,
if we can get a third?
Okay, we can discuss that at the next meeting. My thought is that if we can have a subcommittee in place, and if the agendas are light, we just bring the signs to the full board like we've been doing.
Is it usually just 15 minutes before?
It depends. If we have two or three items, we allot about 15 minutes per item.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Rather than email, I'm prepared to volunteer.
Oh,
okay. I'll take a third.
Well, there we go.
Maybe Jennifer can be an alternate.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Okay. I don't think we need to take action on that. If we do, I'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Great, thank you. Nothing else then, the meeting's adjourned.
What else can you do? At the end of a love affair, so I talk.